The tragedy happened in Yulin, Shaanxi province. A young pregnant woman committed suicide by jumping off the fifth floor of a maternity ward after her request to have a C-section was allegedly turned down by her family. Well, this is a very sad story, and we offer our condolences to the lady's family. As painful as it is, we need to try to figure out what happened for the purpose of preventing such tragedies from happening again in the future.
Yeah.
So, Huang Shen, could you please tell us what happened there?
Yeah, to better understanding this story, so let's just track the timeline back to August 30s. So this 26-year-old pregnant woman surnamed Ma and her relatives arrived in a hospital in Yulin, Shaanxi province on that day for the giving birth to the baby, but she was already more than 41 weeks pregnant. And on the same day, the pregnant woman signed a letter transferring power of attorney to her husband, just in case of any emergency and or an important decision was needed. But from the hospital surveillance camera, on the next morning, and Ma was transferred to the delivery room, but later she left the room several times because she cannot bear the pain. And the video footage also showed that Ma knelt down to the floor for two times in the evening. And an hour or so later, a nurse came out of the delivery room and said they cannot find Ma, and she was just disappeared. And later that the pregnant woman was found after having fallen from the fifth floor of an inpatient building and died after attempts to revive her. And the police have ruled out foul play. So I think this case, why this tragedy can arouse such a heat debate, is because the hospital side and the pregnant woman's family, they have opposite claim of who stopped giving C-section to the woman.
Yeah, so this becomes one of those situations when there seems to be a string of evidence that can be exhibited in court, so to speak, but none of them is definite to pointing out what exactly happened. So, Bob, when you look at this story, can we arrive to some sort of conclusion of who's at fault here?
Do you know, I don't think we can. Looking at the, as you say, it's an incredibly sad story, and you can only hope that because of this and because of the publicity that it's being given and because of the fact that we're talking about this subject, that something good will come of it, that we'll be able to, the authorities will be able to look at every stage of what happened and decide, well, was there something that could have been done? Were all the correct decisions taken? Was the woman involved, was she given all the help that she could have been given? I can't help thinking, when I was looking at this story yesterday and thinking, how would I feel if I had seen video of this poor lady kneeling, clearly in pain? And what was going through my mind was, well, it was clear. This was a terrible situation for her. Childbirth is always going to be painful. I am speaking as the token man here on the panel, but I think that what worries me is that there seem to be so many different aspects to this story.
Yeah.
It's not as simple as it looks, and there are so many things that society probably has to address.
Yes, and can we please present the exhibits then? What did the hospital say or the family say after this tragedy happened?
Yeah, so according to a statement from the hospital, the doctors examined the pregnant woman when she arrived in the hospital and found that the baby's head was very large, and meaning that a normal delivery would probably be too risky, and so they recommend the family to give the C-section for the woman. But the hospital said the woman and her family refused the surgery, despite the best efforts for the medical staff to convince them. But the family refused to take the C-section. But on the family side, they claimed that the doctor had checked Ma's condition and had said she was going to give birth soon and don't need a C-section. So sadly, also we have the video footage, but we can only saw the images, but we cannot hear the sound. So we don't know what exactly Ma said to his family when she came out of the ward and knelt down for twice. Yeah.
But I think listening to that evidence, to me, it sounds as though both sides could be correct. because if you're a doctor, you have to make the right decisions.
Yeah.
But also, coming from a family, but both my parents were doctors and also my grandmother was a midwife, and they were terrified for most of their careers that something might go wrong. Because things do go wrong, you can't always decide that everything will go according to plan. But also, and you've seen a trend more and more these days, that people are looking for compensation if things go wrong. So if you're a doctor, just an ordinary doctor, then that could put you out of business completely if there's some kind of compensation being demanded of them. We don't know, I don't know the cultural background of the family. Now, there may have been, there are some people who don't like the idea of any kind of surgery. They see it as unnatural, it's not part of, and again, there's been a big movement towards natural childbirth in recent years as well. My grandmother hated the idea of natural childbirth because she had seen so much pain with people, babies being brought into the world, that she felt, I'm going to use any means I can to try and make the pain less or to make it easier for the baby to be born. There's some argument that a traumatic birth actually affects you in later life. They think that they're, you know, psychologically there could be a link there as well. So it's sad. I can see that the doctors were probably covering themselves. They did the right thing. They got probably the patient had to sign all sorts of things. They probably thought, well, look, it may be that she will be unconscious and can't make a decision, so we better get her to sign a document as well. And it might be that the doctor thought, well, she's going to have the baby soon, so why go through the trauma of having a C-section?
Yes, I think before we go into talking about the formalities and the procedure of signing the documents, waiving the rights, designating the proper people to make a decision, maybe for the patient, on behalf of the patient, let's talk about a little bit more about a general understanding of C-section versus natural birth. Because I think in the Chinese context, especially maybe these years, or it's there's a maybe when we inherited it from our predecessors, such as in you know, traditional Chinese medicine, like Chinese people tend to like to do things the natural way, and there seems to be sometimes, maybe to some extent, a misunderstanding of what C-section can bring to the mother and baby, that people don't really like the human interference, so to speak. But you're in a hospital, and isn't that part of the treatment? So what do you guys think about C-section versus natural birth?
I think I have heard so many rumors or Chinese people's stereotypes about how C-section will have some negative influence on a baby. They assume that baby will be less smarter and maybe less healthier than the baby who were come out of the world through the natural birth. But actually, I'm the one who went to come to the world through C-section.
All right.
So I think I'm pretty healthy.
Yeah, I think so.
I'm pretty smart. So I don't think
so
it's any
that one wrong.
Yeah, I don't think it's any wrong with C-section. But I think there are still a lot of people, especially in some remote areas or the rural side, they don't know about the benefits of C-section. So we can also see, like, this case was happened in a small city. Maybe the family of the pregnant woman, they have really old ideas. They prefer the traditional Chinese method of, like, the natural birth delivery, maybe.
That could be one explanation.
Yeah.
And I think in the modern setting, there's also the painless labor that through medication, then it would help the pregnant lady greatly in alleviating pain. Although after reading research, I only just found out that the whole process of giving birth could go from 4 hours to 10 hours if you decided to go through the painless option. And that, meaning, you know, having more medication injected into your spine, would be an area that I think most people probably don't know much about, and that needs more clarification for the public.
But I think what's interesting, all the methods that you mentioned have risks. And we're talking about a situation which we have to say, I think probably most pregnancies go fine and most babies are born without any particular problems. So in terms of people worrying about this, I don't think it's something that people should worry about too much. But when there are problems, like if the baby is too big, every kind of treatment that you may want to have has benefits, but also has potential threats as well. Mm-hmm. So some people say, well, I can't choose. If I were a woman and was going to choose between these various treatments, I wouldn't know which one to choose. Mm-hmm. I personally, and probably because of my background, would prefer a doctor to help me make that decision. Now, then that raises the big problem of, well, who should be making this decision? Should it be the woman?
Yes.
Who is making the decision? I think yes. But there are also, how do you equip the person, the patient, to know exactly what the threats are, what the risks are, and what's going to be best for them?
That is a very, very good question. And I think that not only should the pregnant lady herself needs to know all this information, but the father-to-be needs to also get educated. And the situation we see here in China is often becoming pregnant. Well, of course, the inception of it involves two people probably having a very good time. But then later on, when it comes to the pregnant stage, it becomes very much the woman's own problem. And that is very disheartening for maybe women like myself who haven't gone through all of this. But the man needs to be present too, I think, through this process.
I agree. But I'm going to say the opposite to what you think I'm going to say.
Yes.
Which is, I think that it should solely be the woman. She has to make the decision herself. Because
yes.
I think that it's inevitable. Because I think that the man can't go through the pregnancy as a woman would go through the pregnancy.
Yeah.
Can't go through the birth as a woman would go through the birth. And can't go up with the child and having the bond with the child that a woman can have. So sadly for men, we are largely excluded from this whole thing, or happily, because we don't have to have all this pain. So I'm not that. I think, yes, I agree totally that the husband, the father of the child, needs to be part of the decision making. The ultimate decision has to be with the woman.
Well, actually, there's one thing I need to clarify here. That is, Bob, I think I tend to agree with you. What I'm saying here is, throughout the 10 months when the woman is seeing her belly balloon and, you know, her abs would be gone in through this process when she spent 10 years to get those abs, and that's a lot to give up with. Yes, I'm just putting myself into the shoes of a pregnant lady. Yes, I think the man needs to be present during that process, but when it comes to making the decision and she's on the examination table, who has the say? We can see at least three parties in play here in a Chinese hospital in this delivery room.
Yeah.
There is the patient, or the mom-to-be. There's the doctor, who is the professional with all the medical knowledge, and also family members. Maybe sometimes it is of the husband's family, or maybe the woman's family as well. So what does the law say? Who needs to have the final say here?
Yeah, according to the law, the families need to sign a lot of like deals with the hospital to make sure they agree with the therapies the doctors chose. But I, from my personal perspective, I prefer to let the patient make the decision. So I mean, if the pregnant lady who was in a ward and she still had consciousness about what is going on herself, so maybe she can make the decision.
But if you are in incredible pain, it's not possible to make a good decision. You'll say anything. Friends of mine who've had children, they say that they will demand anything under those sort of circumstances. So,
yeah.
Which you can understand, can't you?
Yeah. When you're under extreme pain and you just want it to be over, as I have asked five moms in the duration of one day, and then they all said that when they were delivering the baby, it felt like they would do anything to just make this an end, to end the pain, to unload, and then you can think about other things, because the extreme pain, it's obviously that's the only thing that you feel and can see at that point. But according to a regulation released by the State Council, China's cabinet, medical institutions must get consent from patients and then a signature from a family member that is directly linked to the patient before performing a surgery. But doctors can make decisions without the consent of the above mentioned parties in emergencies. But when you look at how things are done in reality, doctors seem to be reluctant to make that decision. And let's look at the practice of this. Do you think that it is necessary that a family member needs to sign that signature? And also, why is it that doctors are so reluctant in making final changes that might be in conflict with the patient's decision?
Because I think only in our show, we have talked a lot of like patient and hospital disputes. So I think that's the one reason that impede the doctors to take the emergency response directly, but rely on some more like paperwork and legal like assignments so they can make sure their rights can be guaranteed. They don't want to involve in such disputes. I think that's the main reason why they don't want to take
it's
response.
Actually quite an important one for doctors, because we've seen over the years, as I said earlier, that there seems to be a lot of people who think, okay, something's gone wrong. The first thought is, let's get some compensation for this. Mm. I feel sorry for doctors, because certainly in the West, and I understand it's the same in China as well, you have the Hippocratic Oath, which they have to obey, which is to save a life. So that they have to ignore anything else. Even if the law says don't do it, they still are obliged. They have to do it. So that's part of being a doctor. I think what's sad, and maybe there's a sign of this in this particular story, is that the reputation or the level of competence of doctors seems to be being doubted more these days. Now, I don't know why that is, and again, it might simply be because I come from a medical family that I trust doctors, will always trust them. I grew up with doctors. I know what they have to go through, the kind of training they have to have, the kind of decisions they have. But also, I know the problems, for example, that sometimes you can have too few doctors and they are under stress and they are tired and working very long hours. So even they have problems making the right decision. So it's difficult. They are marvelous people as far as I'm concerned, because they do such great things for people. But at the same time, they are not beyond making mistakes.
I think that's such a vital point. Although it's sometimes hard, but people need to accept that is medicine can heal, but sometimes it can't always do miracles. And there are going to be risks that need to be taken, and both the doctors and the patient. And sometimes doctors don't always successfully revive lives, and sometimes surgery don't work. And I think right now we're seeing that there is such a great amount of lack of trust that when things go wrong immediately, it is the doctors that become the ones to be blamed. And sometimes the family goes through a lot of emotional distress, but the doctors seem to sometimes become the target to let out that pain, that all the anguish, and sometimes it could even be used to be a way to get compensation. And that is the part that I think it is actually hugely damaging for the patient and the doctors. And I think that factor has professed itself in one facet in this story.
But we've seen it quite a lot of times recently, and I think Huang Sheng has reported on this for the Beijing Hour, that there are doctors who have been threatened and attacked in various parts of China because people are so angry, and you would be angry if you had lost somebody very dear to you. Then you're going to feel, you know, why has this happened? And you want to try, I think psychologically, you always blame the person that you love. Mm. So the doctor was trying to help. They're the easy and best person to blame and to go off and attack. It sounds very strange, but that I think is what happens. So, but we seem to be seeing this more and more. That's the worrying thing, is how do you restore people's confidence in doctors so that they will listen to the advice doctors are giving.
Yeah, and now you're seeing that the doctors are afraid of making a decision that could potentially put themselves in danger or open for a legal battle. And that is something that that unfortunately we have already seen to become a social phenomenon that has forged. But here, let's talk about how things could have gone right. What needs to be improved? What needs to be publicized to the public so that such tragedies won't happen again in the future?
I was just going to say very briefly, there's two things that I noticed, and one is that they seem to allow patients to wander around without being looked after, which I know in wards in the UK, they actually lock the wards so that people can't get in, but people can't get out. And in this case, it might have prevented her from jumping out of the window. But also education, I guess, as Wang Zhang was saying, that there are problems. People don't really fully understand things like C-section. They need to know this before. They've got 9 months to learn about it.
Yes, you know, so. Plenty of time.
Yeah. My personal suggestion is we should promote the painless delivery because according to the National Health and Family Planning Commission, now in China in 2015, only less than 10% of pregnant women, they can have the painless labor. So maybe we can promote this kind of way to if those women, they prefer to have the natural birth, maybe this is a way they can relieve their pain.
Yes, I think for any woman who is anticipating giving birth to a new life into this world, if it could be painless, that would be great. Healthy and painless.
Yeah.
Safety, you know, that is some key factors here. And also for all those doctors, I think this is one of those really tough situations. As we see, the latest news came in that the doctor who was looking after this lady, he has been told to terminate his practice, at least for the time being. And, well, we don't know whether he is fully responsible or not.
No, and I hope there will be a further investigation.
Yes.
And that it doesn't stop with them saying this is just a tragic accident, and they will try to decide what really happened.
Yes, yeah. And it's important to learn lessons from such tragedies. So this won't happen again. You're listening to Roundtable with myself, He Yang, Huang Shen, and Bob Jones.